No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's nobody like him. Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation, chapter 13, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." I want to preach tonight on the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you, Lord, to help me as I stand tonight to take thy word and be plain and simple. And Lord, help us to learn of thee, to understand the times that are before us, to realize, God, that our hope is Christ. And Lord, in thee we can put our faith and trust and understand that the terrible things that are during this time of tribulation, Lord, that we'll be protected from it, for we'll be with you. Help me, Lord, tonight to preach through the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. We'll thank you and praise you, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, John continues to show us this unfolding drama, if you will, after Satan's been cast out of heaven. The Bible teaches us that he realizes in chapter number 12, in verse number 12, that he hath but a short time. And John is standing here, verse number 1 of chapter 13, on the sands of the sea, and he observes a mighty sight. You think about this. He saw two beasts, one out of the sea and one out of the earth. And when I think about this, and I think about this portion of the Scripture, I'm reminded of a truth that we've all been taught, we probably have all heard this, that for everything that God has, it's real, Satan has a counterfeit. And just like in the Godhead, there's a Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan has an unholy and an evil Trinity, if you will. There's Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they're just the opposites of the Holy Trinity of God, and we understand that. In this message tonight, I want us to look at that second person of this evil trinity. I want us to deal with this beast out of the sea, the Antichrist. The Bible gives us a description of him here in chapter 13. The Bible describes this beast as one that's rising up out of the sea. 7 heads upon which was the name of blasphemy. 10 horns upon which are 10 crowns. We see a description in verse number 2. He's a beast, like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the power of the beast came from Satan. So we begin to understand, this is not just some ordinary beast, right? This is some mighty creature. This is some mighty beast. And we've heard of him before. We see him here in Revelation chapter 13. I want you to go back with me in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 7, if you will, tonight. And I want us to read together what the Bible has to say. The Bible says in the first year, Daniel chapter 7 in verse number 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And the four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it were lifted up from the earth, and made a stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. It raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. So you notice in the book of Revelation we have, back in chapter number 13, in this description, we see that he saw the beast, and the beast was like a leopard. And the leopard with feet as the feet of a bear, and a mouth as the mouth of a lion. But here in the book of Daniel, I want you to notice that we see that the lion is mentioned first in chapter 7, verse number 4. And that refers to a certain kingdom. And then the bear is mentioned second. And then the leopard. And then the beast. That beast is something that they don't give a name to. It just talks about that it's a beast that's different than all the others. It's dreadful and terrible. If we understand Bible prophecy, we have some clues as to what this is talking about. In the book of Daniel, we read of the lion, and that refers to that first great world empire, the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember Nebuchadnezzar, and you remember all the things that were surrounding him, and he had this first great world empire. And the lion, no doubt, represents that. And then the bear in the book of Daniel chapter 7 verse number 5 represents the next empire, and that's the Medo-Persian Empire. And that empire held ground for a while, but then we see that there was another empire, and this was the Greek Empire. And we've all heard of Alexander the Great. It's talking about the times of Alexander the Great, and it's represented by this leopard. But then we finally see that fourth empire in the book of Daniel, this fourth beast. And this was the Roman world empire. This Roman empire took a combination of all the dominating and all the evil characteristics of those first three, all the horrors and all the terrors, and they combined all of them into their empire. They took all the terribleness of it, and they brought upon them, upon their own self, they had all those characteristics and went even further than any of those other three empires went. So we begin to understand some things. Now I want you to know that in Daniel's vision, these empires are in opposite order of those in John's vision. But there's a reason for that. Daniel was looking forward. And so he saw it in this order, here, 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 and here. John is now seeing back. And so he sees it here, 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 and here. God's Word makes sense all the time. And so we need to understand this. So God was showing John something here, and he was talking about all these different things. So as Daniel's looking forward and he sees these things that are coming, John is seeing what's happening right then and the things that have brought it to that point. Do you understand that? Makes sense, doesn't it? So we understand this tonight. And this beast that rises up out of the sea, here in Revelation chapter number 13, he's both a man and a kingdom. You say, how could that be? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But he's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, when it talks about that little horn that come up out of these other horns. And he's also the revived Roman Empire. We're going to have an understanding of this here in just a little bit. The seven heads and the ten horns with the ten crowns, they all represent a kingdom, if you will. Revelation chapter 17 verse 12 teaches us that the ten horns are ten kings. You can go and read that if you will later. The ancient Roman Empire was built on seven hills, and that represented that could be representative here of these seven heads. And some believe that it could be that these seven heads refer to the seven that were left after the little horn devoured three in Daniel chapter number 7. But regardless, we realize that what the Bible has to say is true. There's a beast that rises up out of the sea that has seven heads and ten horns with ten crowns up on the horns. And the name upon his heads were the name of blasphemy. Now the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." I want you to understand that the father of this beast out of the sea is none other than Satan himself. He's the false Christ, this beast out of the sea. He is the Antichrist. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter number 12, I want you to notice verse number 3. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 3, "There appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon," and listen to this, "having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head." And then the Bible says in chapter 13, verse number 1, there's a beast that rises up out of the sea having seven heads, ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns. So we see that there's a description that's much alike. Like father, like son. I want you to understand, this beast out of the sea is the most evil thing that this earth will ever come to see and ever have to face. This beast out of the sea is none other than the Antichrist. This beast out of the sea is none other than that revived Roman Empire. And this beast out of the sea is going to wreak havoc for 3.5 years in this world. It's going to be a terrible time, an awful time. From his father, the devil, comes his power. The Bible says his seat and his authority. Now, a lot of people ask, how could it be a beast? How could the beast be a man and a kingdom? Well, you understand, it will be an imperial leader and a totalitarian government. In other words, it'll be one dictator that's going to be in charge of all of it. It's like imperialism. Be in charge of everything, and he's going to have his own party. That's that totalitarian government. And they'll have supreme control of everything. Now, we can think of people in our minds that would remind us of this. We think of people like Mussolini or Stalin. We think of people like that and we realize what they represented. I think of Hitler. And when he was the dictator in Germany, it was called Hitler's Germany. They never referred to it as the German army. When he was in charge, it was Hitler's army. And so when you talked about that part of the world, it was about Hitler. And that's what's going on here. Oh, yes, it represented a whole kingdom, but there was one person that was in charge of it all. And that's what's going to happen. There's going to be these kings that are going to rise up, but there's going to be this one that's going to be above all of them, and it's that beast, it's that little horn, and he's going to have his own little king in this revived Roman Empire, a federation of nations, if you will. I don't believe that's the way it ought to be. We've had people wanting this for years. Somebody said that I was reading where one Jewish rabbi said that they believed that the United Nations could be the Messiah. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, the United Nations has done nothing but cause trouble in this world. It's terrible. But we see that people are given to this Federation of Nations. A century ago, this would have been something that would have been laughed at and mocked at and made fun of. But what are we looking for now? People are crying for a one-world government, for a one-world money system. They want everything to be unified and everything to be under one head and everything to be this way. And I'm going to tell you something. They're going to get their wish one of these days, but thank God I'm going to be out of here. I won't have to put up with it. Amen? We see what's going on here. We understand this. I was reading one story, and I saw where Louis the 14th said, "I am the state." So you can understand how it could represent a kingdom but still be a man. We can understand how these things could happen. And this beast that we're reading of here, he's going to have his power, his seat and authority, and it's going to be much greater than what Mussolini ever thought about, or Stalin, or Hitler. We can look and we can think about how terrible and how dreadful they were, but this man is going to have power not just for a certain part of the world. He's going to have power over all the world. It's going to be quite a sight. It's going to be a terrible thing. He's going to wage war on the saints, the Bible teaches. We'll look at it here in just a moment. But let's understand what the Bible's teaching us here. There is a beast that's rising up out of the sea. This beast is none other than the Antichrist, and he'll have his kingdom. And it's represented by these seven heads and the ten horns with the ten crowns up on their horns. And this beast is going to get its power from none other than Satan himself. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan has got a lot of power to give. You realize there's different words for power used in the Bible. Before Christ came, Satan had a certain kind of power that was more of a dynamic power. In other words, it was a power that could trample over things. Less control over him. He had power to do greater things. But when Christ came, the word for power changes in the Bible. And now his power at this time that we're living is always subject to another power. And by the way, did you know that the Bible teaches us that we have more power? We have more power to carry out the will of God than Satan has to carry out Satan's will. You want to know why? Because God gives us the power to do what we need to do. And Satan has to rely upon his own power. God has to allow him to have any power. But this is the way it is. But then when the church is taken out and the restraining Spirit of God has taken on a different role, the Spirit of God never leaves. But the Holy Spirit works through the church now. The church is going to be gone, and the Spirit is still going to be at work just like it was in the Old Testament times, but it's not going to be the same as it is right now. He's going to have an unrestrained power during this time. He's going to be trampling over the earth. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. This beast is real. He gets his power from Satan. And the Bible teaches us that he gets his power, his seat, and great authority. I'm glad I'm saved. So let's think about this tonight. Let's look at this. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the wonder after the beast. The wonder after the beast. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. Talking about this beast, "I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." I want you to notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says the beast is wounded, as it were, to death. Now, all my life I've heard that this beast dies and rises up. But I'm telling you, from what I'm reading right here, I believe this sorry scoundrel fakes his own death. First of all, Satan does not have the power to resurrect, because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Only God has the power to resurrect. So we see that it says right here, it says, "as it were," one of his heads, "as it were wounded to death." In other words, it appears to be wounded to death. So I think he fakes his own death. And some people says this represents the Roman Empire, which it has been basically non-existent. You know, the Roman Empire was destroyed, if you will, in AD 476. And everybody thought that we'll never have to deal with that again unless you're a Bible student and you realize you're going to have to deal with it again. Somebody's going to have to deal with it again. If you're saved, you won't have to deal with it again. But somebody's going to have to deal with it again, and that's what we're dealing with right here. This Roman Empire comes back to life, if you will. And by the way, here's where you're going to see religion and politics meet hand in hand. Romanism and political authority coming together. And by the way, the harlot of the Bible is the Roman church, if you will. And this Roman church is going to fulfill a certain role in Satan's plot. But then Satan is going to get aggravated and Satan's going to destroy this church too. By the way, it's all part of God's plan. God is using that church to fulfill this. That's just the way God is. God can use whatever He wants to. Amen? He's God. But we understand this. We see that this beast is wounded, as it were, it's wounded to death. And this deadly wound is healed. Well, when this happens, people of the world are just in awe. They're like, wow! Did you see what's happened? Well, let's say it is this Roman Empire that's been dead. Politically, it's been dead. Religiously, it's not been as strong as it was. Let's just say that it just didn't have this power. But let's look at its political power. And they're looking and saying that where's this been all this time? And now it's rising up. Let's say it was the Roman Empire. All we know is that something were, as it were, wounded to death. But I believe that it's the old Antichrist, and he's faking his death because he's trying to do everything like Christ did. And so we see that he is wounded, as it were, to death. And the people of the world, they're just seeing this and can't believe it. Because I can promise you, every news network is going to be there. You've got to remember who's in control of this now. Satan's going to have his reporters everywhere. The beast is going to be sure everybody sees what's going on. It's going to be a terrible sight because they're going to think, it's dead. One of these heads are dead and it's terrible. And what's going to happen now? But then it's going to rise back up and people are going to go, wow, this must be the Messiah. This must be the one. People are going to believe a lie. The Bible teaches us people are going to believe a lie. And they're going to believe this, and they're going to say, there's nobody like this one. This has got to be him. This has got to be the one that we've heard about. The government's going to be sure that everybody knows about it. It'll be headlines, newspapers all around the world, hot off the press. He was dead, but he lives. He was dead. He was wounded with a sword, the Bible says. But he lives. The Bible says in verse number 14, towards the end, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. I've never seen in here where he died. I've never seen where he died. It says wounded as it were to death, as it were wounded to death. So we see the wonder after the beast. Then I want you to see, secondly, the worship of the dragon and the beast. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Satan is finally getting what he's wanted all along. Satan has wanted to be worshiped as God since the very beginning, since his fall. That's what caused him to fall. He wanted to be worshipped as God. I can prove it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. Would you do that with me? Isaiah chapter number 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and this is the devil. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Listen to this. For thou hast said in thine heart, Lucifer says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He's reaching his goal. The world is going to fall down at his feet. They're so excited because of what's going on, because they've seen this one that was wounded, as it were, to death, and somehow he's alive, and they're just amazed, and they begin to worship the dragon who gave the power to the beast. And they begin to worship the beast. And notice what they say. There's two questions here. The world begins to say, who is likened to the beast? Well, there's nobody like this one. This is the one who is able to make war with him. Nobody can defeat him. Nobody. By the way, just as a preview, go to chapter 14, verse number 1. We see that the question is asked in chapter number 13 and verse number 4, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? And I love chapter 14, verse number 1. John says, and lo, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and 4,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. There is one that's able to make war with him. He's already fought him once and defeated him. But I can promise you there's a time in the future he's going to defeat him for all time, for all eternity, and he's going to cast him forever into the lake of fire, and we'll be done with that old sorry thing. Thank God. But I see this worship of the dragon. I see that they said of the false Christ, who's likened to the beast, who's able to make war with him. And the world is so convinced that this is the great deliverer. This is the Savior. When Christ came into the world would not believe. But when the Antichrist comes, the Bible says the world's going to follow him and the world is going to worship him. That's what the Bible says in verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's going to be a group there that's not going to worship him. But everybody that's not been saved is going to worship this beast out of the sea. Everybody. Then I want you to see thirdly the wickedness of the beast. The Bible says in verse number 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The Bible said in verse number 1, upon his heads is the name of blasphemy. But now we see that the Bible says from his mouth comes great things and blasphemies. The dragon gives the beast power, but it's only for 42 months, for 3.5 years. I want you to go back with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter number 7. So we've read about this before. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 7, let's read verse 24. Daniel's given an interpretation of this beast vision. The Bible says in verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak, listen to this, great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Time is one period, times is 2, that's 3, and the dividing of a period of time, that's half, 3.5 years, 42 months. And we see that this beast is going to have power for 42 months, the Bible says. And during this 42 months, he is going to be blaspheming God. Notice what he does. He blasphemes his name. That's who God is and everything that God stands for. Some of those foul, vile, wicked language you could ever possibly imagine is going to come out of the mouth of this obese as he speaks of God. There'll be not one pleasant thing that he'll say about God. I think of this, and when I think of this, may I come away from this message and may I say to you tonight that we ought to be careful how we use the name of God. Pardon me, but people use the phrase, oh my God. so flippantly and so loosely. I don't think we ought to say gosh or golly. We ought to get away from using things like that. Lord, help us to see that anything that would make people think of something like that, that we're lessening the name of the Creator God, the Savior God, the Mighty God. Oh, that's blasphemous. He is a name that is above every name. He is a name that is high and holy. And when we speak it, we ought to speak it reverently and powerfully and with love. And we ought to speak it in the context in which God means for us to speak it in. But this beast is going to be blaspheming his name. But not only is he going to be blaspheming his name, notice what else he's going to be. He's going to be blaspheming his tabernacle, the house of God, the dwelling place of God. I can promise you this. Satan hates church now. He hates these houses where we meet together. But during this time, he is going to blaspheme this tabernacle, this place where God dwells, and not necessarily this place, I'm saying the place where God is dwelling. He is going to blaspheme that. But then notice, thirdly, he blasphemes them that dwell in heaven. I tell you, when you get up there, he's cast out of heaven, he's still going to be accusing you and blaspheming you and making fun of you and saying all kinds of things. He's still going to be trying to attack us, and he's still going to be trying to attack our character, but we're going to be safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't have to worry about it. We see the wickedness of the beast. We see that he's going to make war, the Bible says, with the saints, with these believers that are here on earth. A lot of these tribulation saints are going to be martyred. They're going to die that martyr's death. We've read about that in chapter number 11, if you'll remember. These murders, they may seem to be victories for the beast. He's going to be rejoicing. But truly, the victory is for the saints, because they're finally going to be with the Lord. Finally going to be out of this old world. And they're going to be safe too with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest assured, the real victory is for those that die in the Lord. This war, it's going to make him a hero. He's going to have accolades. He'll have every kind of star you can possibly think of. Every kind of award you can possibly imagine. The heads of these nations are going to be proclaiming his praises. And they're going to say, this is the one that's going to lead us to pure peace on earth. This is the one. We're getting rid of all the troublemakers, those that believe in God. They're getting rid of all them. So they're saying, this is the one. This is the true Savior. And boy, he's going to have a following. The Bible teaches us that people are going to bow down to him. And look what the Bible says. In verse number 7, it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He's going to rule the world in his mind and during that time. But I'm telling you, he hath but a short time. And by the way, we're getting ready to see something happen when the beast out of the earth rises up. There's going to be an image made and placed in a place where it shouldn't be put. And he's going to be worshipped. The Satan's going to be worshipped as God. And God's going to say, that's it. No more. It's real. Things are going to happen. You say, have you got it all covered? No. Is everything you said tonight, is it absolutely possible? Look here. I don't think I can give you absolutely positively everything. I don't think I can understand everything that's going to happen. I just know what the Bible says, and I'm trying to the best of my ability to relay something to you to help us to understand how dreadful these times are going to be, how people are going to believe a lie, how people are actually going to worship a beast that is the Antichrist. Did I get it all right? I hope I did. God in heaven knows that I'm trying. But the most important thing is you get this message that God has for us tonight. You better know that heaven's going to be your home, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you better know that we're going to be responsible for people that are around us who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got to get them to the point to where they can hear the gospel. Verse 9 and 10, we'll close, says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. I think that's important. Because when we read that any man, we take it in the context, we realize it's not just for that time, it's not just for the time of this tribulation. This is saying if any man, John, it's like he breaks through, and just for a moment he says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. It's not just for that time, but it's for this time as well. We have to know that we're saved, and we have to be doing all we can to bring others to Christ. The Bible says that those workers of the beast, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed with the sword. The workers of those that are going to go after these saints, they're going to face them the very same fate, only worse. Their end is the beginning of horror and hell. The saints' end is the beginning of the eternal presence of God. And then the Bible says that here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Their patience, their faith, their enduring. You know when you read in the New Testament over in the Gospels, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Don't ever listen to somebody that tries to tell you that in order to be saved that you have to endure to the end. That's talking about this time of tribulation. There is an endurance that is here, and you have to endure through these things. If you're here and you don't, you've never had the gospel presentation, you have to endure to the end. That's it. But now you have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. By faith, trust Him. Heaven's going to be your home. But then the Bible teaches us that those that endure, those that go through this, that their patience and faith is going to be rewarded. So the Bible teaches us about the beast out of the sea. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Quite interesting. What about the beast out of the earth? Well, another time we'll look at it. It's the false prophet. We've seen the Antichrist. We're going to see the false prophet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. I pray that you've helped us tonight through your word. I pray that we've learned from thee some truths that will just help us to be a more faithful witness, more effective for thee. I pray, Lord, if there be one here tonight that does not have the peace and assurance that heaven's going to be their home, that this night they would trust thee. Lord, for those of us that can say beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know I'm saved, that, Lord, we'd have a burden in our heart for souls. Lord, that we would see that everybody needs the Lord, and that, Lord, it's our responsibility to make sure that we're a faithful witness for you. Help us tonight as we have time to respond, be obedient to you. And we'll thank you and praise you, for it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What page, Brother Chris?